O'Reilly Auto Parts, man, they are in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly and helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. You know the jingle?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do the jingle at the end of this.
Nice. I can't wait for it.
Yeah. So listen. Listen to the end. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your car. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they're friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
Ow!
You better put that in there.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media. Hey everybody, welcome back to another season of the Dale Jr. Download.
Mr. Dale and Archie, Billy Bob's juggling act.
And that's the voice of my co-host, one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Mike Davis.
Come on, Mike, get pumped. Get pumped with me.
You here with me?
You with me, man?
You ready?
Yeah, my phone's about to die. We're doing more than a show? You said we're doing a show. What are we doing now? What have you promised? What have you told them we're doing, Mike?
I don't know who the hell you are anymore. Like, what is going on here?
Who's the new guy?
She should have just pissed all over me. It would have been fine. Chad Ganaus. Chad Ganaus is going to come on, too.
Is it Ganaus? Or is it Canaus? I think maybe, you know, you want to say Canaus, but when you put those two words together, you're going to put a G in it.
You've never mispronounced anything in your life, though, have you?
No.
You've never butchered the English language. Ever.
Not a signal time. What? Crank it up. I'm cold. It's time, Mike, to plan the trip.
Party Sunday at the houseboat. See you there.
Well, you're lucky my brain works the way it does.
What? Why?
Because.
You're assuming the worst.
You're having enjoyment. You're loving it.
What does that mean?
We're screwed. Break it down, I'm hot.
Shield my eyes! I have a wind at my fingertips and I can't, freezing up.
That was weird.
I am weird, dude.
You are.
Yeah. I bet he's home crying.
I'm uncomfortable.
You what? You missed a dentist appointment?
I have decisions in my life that I regret.
Let's do some way too early championship picks. Mine's Blaney.
Blaney.
My chest is starting to hurt. I'm getting sore in my chest. Hey, everybody. It's Dale Jr. back again for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. It is the season finale, the final show of this year, and it's Thursday, November 9th, and it's also free dirty rice. Promo code Dale only at Bojangles.com or using the app. You can get your free regular size, not the tiny one, regular size dirty rice using this promo code at Bojangles.com or in the app through November the 22nd. And thank you to Bojangles for everything they do. We mentioned it at the top of the show yesterday. We mentioned it again. We're in the Bojangles studio. They support the heck out of us, and we're very lucky. I've got Mike Davis here with me. Mike, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great interview yesterday with Kevin Harvick. You know, introduced his new career and talked at length about pretty much anything and everything we wanted to talk about. Great time. If you haven't listened to it, it's our final guest segment of the season, and I thought it was a darn good one.
I enjoyed it. It was fun, and it's always good to see Kevin. And by the way, quite emotional this past weekend. Kevin and everybody else, including myself. I mean, like, seeing him hang it up, you know, it really just got real for us. And but, you know, sometimes you just got to let it go.
That's right.
Just own it. And so I thought they did that this weekend.
That's right. So another thing that this is we talked about, I shared on social media that we had a special episode Tuesday and another special episode Wednesday and another special, equally special episode on Thursday. This is a big week for us finishing up the year, but it's also big because, I mean, how do you want to make this announcement, Mike?
Well, I'll just say that one is we're not going
to
spend a lot of time
do
on
you
it.
Want
two
me
is
to
I'll say.
Say it.
I'll just say, okay. Listen, this is the last episode of the season, or at least formally the last episode of the season. It's also my last episode on the Dale Jr. Download. I've, you know, came to you, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months ago and told you that I've got some, you know, reasons that I wanted to step off of this role here. One of the reasons is I want to run this company and I need to do a better job of that. And I am looking forward to devoting attention that otherwise I spend on this to growing our company, making new shows, working with our team a lot closer. And so, yeah, I think that we're also making changes for this show that are going to make it better, right? And I'm also very much looking forward to that. So I have appreciated, I've never taken a day for granted here at this table. I can tell you that it has been a treat for as long as we've been doing it. But looking forward to taking this thing to the next level, which I don't think I can do as good a job on this show as much as I could as the president of the company, which is what you you expect out of me, and you should. So
well, I think you're obviously not wanting a big deal made out of this, but I have, you know, I've enjoyed working with you and co-hosting this show with you for the last decade. The Dale Jr. Download is your vision. The us ever getting into the podcast realm was your vision. Dirty Mo Media is your vision and largely your own hard work. You have built an incredible staff around us for success, and you do find yourself more and more challenged by hosting this show, making sure this show is as good as it possibly can be, and the growth of the business. We have introduced so many new shows this year. There's so many things that we want to continue to do that I know you're excited about and that you want to be a part of. You know, and I understand that nothing lasts forever. I've always that was hard for me to learn early on in my young life, but as I've gotten older, it's something we all are faced with. And I knew that, you know, someday this might happen, and it's a bit bittersweet, man. I always get excited about the show sort of evolving and changing. But it's hard for me to imagine doing it without you. And, you know, we have really, I think, gotten even better about as my life has changed and actually morphed more similarly toward yours. I think that I've enjoyed the fun conversations even this year about life and family and parenting and kids and all of those things. So, You'll, you know, no one will be able to fill your shoes, but it's been an awesome run. But I am excited for you to be able to put more and more focus on. I think this gives you an opportunity to have a better vision, clearer vision of where we're headed.
100%, and I'm glad you say that. I'm glad you recognize that, because honestly, I love talking about Dirty Mo Media. I love going and telling people about it. I love when people come to us and talk about how it's a part of their lives. And I'm going to be doing a lot more of that. I'm just going to be doing a lot more with potential partners. And I need to be traveling more. I need to be doing some stuff that otherwise you can't do when you have a commitment that keeps you here, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go do that. It's not as, there are some new shows that I'm working on right now that have me so fired up and excited. And, you know, our team, I think it's the best team out there.
Yeah.
I think we've got some amazing, talented, creative employees, and they are just I think that we have a responsibility to go see how far we can take this, and that's what this is about. And yeah. So I appreciate you saying that, and then let's not talk any more about me. Let's talk about the other guy who had way bigger exit, and that would be Kevin Harvick.
Well, I do want one last thing I want to say. Okay. is we don't want to leave people hanging, but the only thing I will share is that we have been talking about this for a while.
Yes.
on whether this was what we wanted and what would we do moving forward. We have a plan. We both have an idea of what we want the show to do and achieve. And we have a clear direction on not only next year but beyond. And so which I'm apprehensive and nervous, because your support at this table has made this so comfortable and easy. But I'm excited, and yeah. I know that you're still in the room, right? Not necessarily physically, but I know that you'll still be a massive part of the success of the show going forward, and that we'll be, as my bosses at NBC like to tell me, we'll be put in a place to succeed.
Thank you for saying that. Listen, the Dale Jr. Download property is as important to me moving forward, if not more, than it was since day one. You know, day one, I mean, what is this? That was 2013 that we started doing the Dale Jr. Download. And it's as important to me as it ever has been. And yeah. So, yes, we are going to set you up in this whole property that's so important to us. We're going to set it up for success. We're going to continue to grow. We have an influence in this sport that is hard to ignore. And so, yeah, that's the idea. So I appreciate you saying that. Yep. It has been a blast sitting here at this table with you. And we do look forward to just having those conversations on my couch in the office instead of on in front of a mic.
Yeah, the changes to 2024 and the format, all that's going to be announced later. Let's move on with the show, man.
Yeah.
We got a lot to cover. We wanted to talk. We told you Tuesday we'd talk about wrapping up this 2023 season. We've got some report cards, so to speak. Mike, you've got information there. Let's talk about playoff drivers, who thrived, who declined in this season. All right. First off, we're going to start with we're going to go from 16th to 1st. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Daytona 500 champion. I don't know what we expected out of Ricky. I think winning the Daytona 500 obviously makes that makes the season a success. I think that, you know, Ricky made some changes in crew chief and personnel. I believe that from my point of view, it looks like that it was a good change. There were some great moments for this team early on in the season where they had speed, where maybe I wasn't regularly seeing that. Certainly they have these moments too where they run where you think they should. I don't know that this team, unless a major changes happen, a major change happens in this team in ownership and so forth, or alliances, I don't know that they can really affect that. You know, baseline performance expectation. But winning the Daytona 500 is a massive, massive thing for any team, and they were able to achieve that. It'd been a while since Ricky had been to Victory Lane. Mike?
Everything you just said, I can't say yeah. it better than that. I think they feel it feels like an overachieving year where they exceeded their expectations, yeah. and I think that that's they should be commended for it.
Michael McDowell, easy. That's an easy one. They yeah. thrived. Won a race, led a lot of laps. made the playoffs. And they didn't make it on a fluke. You know, they really were performing well enough to do it. So I give them attaboy and overachiever for the year.
One of the best storylines of the year for me.
Kyle Busch, 3 wins, first year at RCR. I would say it was a tale of two halves, man. The first half of the year, very good, very promising, expecting improvements and expecting that to continue to evolve. But the second half of the year, man, they just sort of lost something. And in those last handful of races, for whatever reason, man, they really, really struggled to make speed. And it seemed that, you know, at times Kyle was bewildered on what they needed to do. I think this is a very interesting off season for Kyle Busch and that team, right? What changes can be made? What can they do to get back to where they were at the beginning of this year and trend forward, right? Be able to get, you know, get that car up front and stay there consistently.
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the – for me, disappointments. I mean, and I don't mean that harshly. I just mean that I had high expectations the way you do with Kyle Busch, right? Yeah. But this year will always – I'll look at this for, as it pertains to this eight team as the one where Kyle Busch became a good guy, yeah, right? And people started cheering him, and we just weren't used to that from
the
beginning.
Yeah, I guess you got to give that. Yeah, that was a big change in a positive way.
Right.
Kevin Harvick, who's our guest this week, I don't know what he expected or they expected. We certainly know that Kevin's had better years. But when I look at this team, I judge the company as an organization, and he outperformed the rest of the Stewart Haas cars by a good margin weekly, right? And so, you know, I feel like that the organization has slipped a bit.
Yes.
But he has really kind of been able to carry the torch, so to speak, for them. It, you know, not winning, I'm sure, was disappointing for Kevin. But damn, man! I mean, then the last race, led laps, run up front, had a solid ending. I bet he couldn't. You know, I think that his fans were probably somewhat disappointed. But all of that you can shove aside because this is his final year.
Yeah, you brought up a great question to him yesterday, and that was asking about Stewart Haas and how they move on. Mm-hmm. That is such an important question, and one that, you know, we won't know the answer for a while. I didn't know that he had kind of withdrawn himself to help train them on how to look for new direction. That's an interesting thing. And listen, I think we're going to fill the void of Kevin Harvick, yeah, next year in a big way.
Joe Logano, big disappointment, I'd have to say. 2022 champion last year, 1 win, bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Man, there's no way around, you know, trying to explain that away. Just, you know, frustration and disappointment. It looked like he may be able to have a similar year that Blaney had. They really were performing somewhat the same. And even in 2022, he was kind of – Blaney had a, you know, year similar to Joey. They really were kind of lost in the shuffle midseason. Well, Joey wins the championship. Blaney sort of did the same thing, right? And Logano had that potential this year, but it just didn't happen.
Didn't know if this was more of an indictment on Ford as a manufacturer because all the Ford teams were struggling. But 1 win for Joey Logano, not enough, yeah, not even close.
Martin Truex Jr., I think he'd be happy about the season, regular season champion. Big improvement over the last year, massive failure in the playoffs, just poor execution strategies, whatever you want to call it, whatever could happen, happened. They had good speed in their cars, but everything else just could not get right.
I'll never understand the night and day difference between the regular season and the playoffs. My, yeah, gosh. I mean, like, it's bad mojo, bad luck, whatever they did in the playoffs, they got to go reverse that in a big way for next, yep, year.
Bubba Wallace, career high in points finish this year, and I will say this was an improvement. I, yeah, know statistically you could argue whether it was an improvement or not, but when I saw Tyler Reddick come to this team, 23-11, I thought, man, Tyler Reddick is going to really drive Bubba Wallace to have to achieve more. That's going to put pressure on Bubba. It's been different than that. It's not really worked out like I expected. They've actually run somewhat similar, and at times, many times, Bubba Wallace has performed better. Bubba had some amazing qualifying efforts this year and ran well at other races that traditionally he hadn't ran at. He improved at the road courses throughout the season and also at other racetracks he struggled at. So Bubba Wallace, to me, took a big step forward in just becoming an overall better driver. At not, you know, he had, you know, they were strong at Kansas, strong here, strong there. This year he was a better driver across the board. So I think – even though maybe he probably feels like they fell short on some marks, the driver and the team themselves performed better across the board.
I know that wins are the ultimate stat, and he didn't have any, but laps led, I don't have that stat in front of me, but I guarantee you his laps led tells a better picture
average
of his
running
season.
Position.
All that stuff had huge improvement.
Ross Chastain, that's a tough one. Wins the final race of the year. I think before Phoenix, before let's just take that win, right, that last race of the year and move it off the table. This is a bit of a disappointment. They had big speed last year. They finished second in the championship run, behind Joey. They, made it all the way to the final four. I would have to say that this year has been a bit of a disappointment.
I agree with that. I don't even know what my expectations for them would have been. I mean, Trackhouse is still sort of a story being written right now, and we're trying to figure out where they're going to be. But I know this, that they're not sneaking up on anybody anymore for that. And also there was something when Justin Marks was on here, it's been a year or two ago, right? And he was talking about how this new car reset the field. I wonder if the parity that came with the new car in the first year and then maybe the second year, if that also starts to, as everyone learns the car, if that starts to separate some of the teams. I don't know that that's what's happened with Trackhouse. I expect them to be good. Yeah. I think they got the funding to be as good as anybody now.
But
it'll be interesting to see what they do next year.
Let's put Brad Keselowski and Chris Buescher in the same deal here. Because to me, they're both similar. I don't want to repeat myself. Brad Keselowski and Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher had 3 wins. Brad didn't have any wins, but this is the highest finishing position for Roush or RFK, as it's known now, since Greg Biffle in 2012 for Chris Buescher, who was 7th. I think, Brad was 8th in points. I believe that they may be the overachievers of the year for me. Or the biggest, the ones that should get the biggest award for trying to improve, they've turned this company around. This company was at the very back of the pack, okay? And it didn't look like there was any way up, any way forward. But whatever Brad Keselowski and, Chris Buescher have brought to this team over the last 12 months or even 18, 22 months, they are contenders. I would credit Ryan Blaney's championship success to RFK's ability to get this Ford to move. Nobody could get the Ford to run. They did, and it really woke up the other Ford teams. Instead of sitting there saying, well, we got a car we can't compete with. Yeah. We got to wait till next year. Yeah. This car, just you can't make it work. Well, RFK did. They figured it out. It actually motivated Penske and the others to go to work. And so I think you could make that argument.
That's a huge point. I agree with that completely. I would say that in the last 5 months, the way we feel about a brand, an iconic brand, the Roush brand, the way we feel about the brand has changed a 180, all because of Brad Keselowski and what he's done with that operation. Like, you look at RFK now and you don't think, party had to go in there and try to fix an operation that's still trying to find its way. No, they're legit now. And it happened quick, right? And so that's just a testament to them.
Yeah. Tyler Reddick, 2 wins, 460 laps led. I'll be honest, man, I was expecting just a little more. I'm not super disappointed with Tyler's season, 6th in points, and sort of gelling with a new team, a new organization. But Denny Hamlin sold me on his talent, his ability. He's like, man, to become for 2311 to become this, this dynasty, we got to make this higher. We got to make this kind of higher. And so I was, I will be okay with this year if Tyler can go into next season and win me 3 or 4 races and push toward that final four.
Right.
Right. Or that championship four. Then maybe I would look at this year as good solid start to a long, long tenure with 2311.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. 2 wins is what I would have expected for him this year. But, yeah, next year's going to be a big one for him.
Yeah, I think across the board, Denny Hamlin, 3 wins, 8 stage wins, 4 DNFs. Dude, his season was nothing to be disappointed with. I think that there was a point in the playoffs where he sold the idea that this was his year. We all started to, man, maybe this is the year that Denny actually wins this championship. it really was feeling like it was truly possible. And unfortunately, that doesn't work out. But I believe that, you know, based on last year's statistics and his performance, they were really hot and cold last year. I think across the board this year, they were much more competitive week to week. He's going to be disappointed with the final result. I would say he mattered more this year. He was certainly more of a contender for the championship than he was the year before.
Disappointment, yeah, the way that ended, because the performance was there. Toyota's getting a new car, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm always intrigued on how that affects their performance, you know, from year to year, but we'll see how he does. Three wins, though, I mean, I would say that's probably average and maybe, yeah, I think that's what Denny Hamlin typically does.
I would put all the rest of the drivers, the final, the championship four, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Kyle Larson, and Blaney in the same boat of they achieved what they wanted to, what I thought they were capable of on any given season. I know that Byron had this sort of career high 6-win season, but that's who I think he is. I don't think he overachieved. I think he got what he did what I expected or was hoping for him one day, right? He got to where I've been wanting him to get to or expecting him to get to. Christopher Bell was in the championship four last year, had a similar sort of season and did exactly pretty much what I thought he would do. Kyle Larson almost won the championship, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, man, I sit down and think Kyle Larson should win a championship every year. That's unrealistic. So he did about what I expected. Blaney, he did what I expected. I picked him to win the championship. I thought he could. And he did. You know, I'm not surprised. It's not an overachievement in my eyes. But back to our original, you know, who thrived and who declined. Bell was flat. William improved. Larson was flat, which is flat is good. Okay, if you're in the top four,
if you're one of the greatest ever, right?
Blaney bumped it up a little bit over his last, you know, previous year's performances.
What do you think about his road, though, to the championship? Because he had, what, 8 top fives. There was parts of the season when even Blaney himself made you think like the world was coming to an end.
Yes.
But what do you think about his road?
Dude, his dad said at the start of the playoffs, he told us this story, I see the road for you. I'm looking at this playoffs, and I see the way for you to get through to Phoenix. And I thought, you know, that to me was Talladega. You can win there. You're great there.
Right.
Martinsville. You race good at Martinsville. Look at your statistics.
And Phoenix.
And Phoenix. I think his last four finishes at Phoenix are now 4-2-2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so
it lays out really well
very
for
well
him.
For him. Those yeah, so yes, the playoffs laid out well for old Blaney. It was gonna have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And it was, right? You know, just because he's good somewhere doesn't mean he's gonna go there and win. He had to win. And he did. Pretty incredible. Let's talk about which one of these playoff drivers does not make the playoffs in 2024. Which one of these drivers in this list do you think misses next year's playoffs?
Ryan Blaney.
Bull. Come on, man.
It's my last show. I'm going to go out. Okay. I'm going to pick a fight. Uh-uh. No, for real. Does not make it.
I think it'll be Stenhouse. I have to say Stenhouse. I mean, it's hard to pick a guy, but you got to pick one. I think it's like Ricky misses.
Well, if that's the case, then I'll just go McDowell.
Okay. Which non-playoff driver makes the playoffs in 2024? Pick one.
Chase Elliott.
It's pretty easy, right? Chase Elliott. If Chase Elliott is a given, then give us another one. Give us a second driver that missed it.
Alex Bowman.
Okay, you're putting Alex in. I believe, man, this is tough. It's a real, real tight toss-up between Ty Gibbs and Alex Bowman. I believe that we'll see some changes in the offseason, and Alex Bowman, who was like leading the points in the first third of this year, has a healthy year, doesn't break his back and miss any races, and I think Alex Bowman is in the playoffs as well.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, let's move on to 2024. Way too early predictions. Who's your champion?
My champion for 2024 is James Dennis Hamlin.
All right. Oh, man. I'm going to go with Blaney back to back.
It has served you well all the way up until now. Don't jump off the train now.
Why is it funny that I picked the current champion? I mean, you know.
He's going Blaney.
He's going to pick one answer.
He just proved he could do it.
Predicting the champion in February, not enough. He's doing it in November of the all previous right, year.
Who's next year's breakout star?
Ty Gibbs.
I'm going to say that next year's breakout star, Ty Gibbs. Yeah. I want to go with like a Zane Smith or, you know, Josh Berry, John Hunter Nemechek, but I just don't know that the cars and I think Ty Gibbs is in a Gibbs car. Their stuff runs in the top five a lot. And I think he's just trying to get there. So I think you're right, Mike. Overachiever. Who overachieves? Who will be the surprise?
This year?
Next year. Next year, buddy. We're 24 now.
Yeah.
Looking forward. We're going to continue to look forward for the next 10 minutes.
Okay. I don't know if this counts, but you tell me if it does. I think that RFK will do a better job next year. I think Buescher and Kozlowski will win.
I like it. All right.
Well, what's yours?
I know. I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
Overachiever. Man. I think that I think John Hunter Nemechek may overachieve. I kind of like the move the team's making manufacturer-wise. They'll be getting a little support through the other successful teams. It'll be a little motivation for them to do that for John Hunter. The crew chief that he's got coming up with him. I just feel like that's setting him up to do that one kind of not – I don't want to use the word fluke – but freak win, you know?
Yeah.
Where kind of, you know, that one surprise win, kind of like a McDowell at Indy. I could see John Hunter sort of sneaking in one, you know, and throwing the whole playoff field into a tizzy there.
I've got an honorable mention.
Okay.
Justin Haley sold me on what Rick Ware Racing is doing when he was here, and I'm now keenly watching what they do. I'm not saying they're going to go off and make playoffs or anything, but we're talking about overachieving. Yep. Rick Ware Racing, what we expect of them is not a lot, right? Yep. I'm interested to see what Justin Haley can do for them. If they can start stringing together some top 20s, something like that, a couple here and there, I mean, that would be overachieving.
Yep. Underachiever, who is going to drop off? This is a tough one, man. You got to go. Got to hurt somebody's feelings here.
All right. You want me to? I'll do it. I don't like doing it. It doesn't feel good. Truex.
Really? Okay. I'll say Austin Cindric. I mean, two cars, iconic. It's, you know, it's Miller High Life car for years. It's just been this car, right? And he's just not been able to really get it going. I'm hoping they make the changes necessary in the offseason to figure out what it is that Austin Cindric needs. I think Austin Cindric can do it if he gets the situation around him to make him successful. But so far it's been nothing great. Outside of that Daytona 500 win, is there a memorable finish?
No.
Right? So that I think eventually you got to say, look, man, this guy's on the hot seat, right? This is – it's like when the pressure is probably already – he probably already feeling the pressure, right? But when is the rest of us – when do the rest of us start to say, you know, is the pressure on this guy or what? I think it's next year, right?
I wonder if you have other drivers that you feel like next year is their make or break year. Like, for instance, Harrison Burton.
I watch Harrison because Burton's standing in the booth right next to me. Harrison runs as good as the other Penske cars. Now, obviously, he didn't win a championship. Blaney won a championship in a Penske car. But he often outruns the two, or at least outfinishes him. And sometimes measures up or is right sort of below or underneath Logano throughout the year. There's just time. If you're watching him qualifying, practice, in the race, you can see how he is kind of carrying his weight. Like, he deserves a long, you know, a little more of a leash here, a little longer runway.
Let me give you one more name. Okay. What does Corey LaJoie need to show in 2024?
They just need to keep Corey and this whole, Corey and his whole team keeps making these advancements from, like, okay, top 25s, top 20s, okay? Now they're kind of flirting with that top 15. I think that's who they need to be next year. Corey and this team need to be a 10th to 15th place car weekly. That would probably be their expectation, their hope. How do you think the new faces of 2020 are going to fare? You mentioned a few. Daniel Hemric is coming into back into the Cup Series with colleague. Ty Dillon's going over there to run the second car. And so those cars struggled so badly at Phoenix. I mean, it was not good. I think this is going to be a very difficult year on the Cup side for colleague.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a big surprise to anybody. Josh Berry in the four car for Stuart Haas Racing. You know, hey, I'm a Josh Berry fan. Y'all know that. I'm wanting it to go well. There will be, Kevin said it yesterday in the interview, there will be some moments of struggle. There will be times when Josh Berry's going, do I have what it takes? Do I belong here? Do I have the fortitude to go forward, right? And there'll be some dark moments in that first year. There are for every driver. But I hope to see enough. And so I'll give them that long runway. This year, this first year, really isn't about becoming ultra competitive. It's more about showing glimpses of what they can be down the road, right? You at least need to do that. You at least need to have those few bright pops where you're like, oh, shoot, man, they had a great run today. Man, if they could do that regularly, that's what you need to hear at least once or twice throughout the season for this four car.
Yeah, especially for, like, just team chemistry. Like, in that shop, those are the people that really start to get dejected a lot. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and I hope to see it as well.
Carson Hocevar in a 77 Spire car. You know, Carson, aside from, you know, turning the 40 or the 54 at Martinsville, Carson does not wreck people on purpose in a Cup car. I think that is intentional. I believe that he knows in the Cup Series that they will bite back. And, you know, I think that he will be less likely to make those type of foolish decisions behind the wheel of the Cup car, but I do see it potentially happening again, and I do believe that the Cup Series directors, drivers, everybody involved will help straighten out that problem for him. And how will he run in this second Spire car? The only thing that we can base that off of is how he's drove in the 42, which I think he runs very well in that car. I watched him at Phoenix. He drove that car up into the top 20 and hung around all day, didn't cause any problems, and did really well in it with a team that's trying just to get to the end of the year. But this 77 Spire car with Ty Dillon driving it all year has sort of struggled. Ty has done his absolute best with what he's been given, but I really don't know how to handicap the car. Is it as good as the one that Corey LaJoie drives? I do not know. Is it secondhand equipment? Is it less? Is there less money invested? I can only guess. And so it's hard to handicap the 77 car that Carson's going to be driving. But I have to assume that Carson and Carson's future demands that the car is competitive. And so I will not be surprised to see Carson Hocevar push Corey LaJoie. Drive Corey LaJoie forward. That's what I believe will happen. Carson's going to have these moments where he outruns Corey, and Corey finds more in himself, which is good. That's what you need from your teammate.
Yeah, I'm so conflicted on Carson Hocevar, especially after, you know, you made me think on Tuesday that there's nothing short of an exorcism that's going to have to be required to get him right. So, I mean, but there's one thing that we can all agree on. He's, like, insanely talented, man. He can drive a race car. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right?
Zane Smith's driving for a sort of Spire Trackhouse effort. It's a Spire car, but with support from Trackhouse, whatever. I think that he's going to have a career similar to Gilliland, or not a career, but a season similar to Gilliland, who is the teammate of McDowell. Look, I have to look hard to see the improvements in a team like that.
Yeah.
Right? Their improvements are minimal. They're there, but you really have to be paying attention to them throughout the season to see it. I don't know that Zane is going to have these bright spots. I think you'll have to stare intently at his Cup year that's coming up to be able to really understand if he's having good moments, where is the potential, all those things. This is a third car for whatever this is, Spire Trackhouse. It's still the third effort from either organization, right? They're both coming together to sort of support this. And, you know, the third car of any three-car team is, you know, they got an A, a B, and a C. And I don't care if it's Hendrick or Penske. You know, not every car gets all of the best stuff, right? It's impossible to really, like, have A-plus stuff all across the board in engineers, every piece, not physical. I'm not talking about tangible pieces. So, you know, it'll be a difficult year for Zane. His patience will be tested, and I don't know that there'll be a lot to look back on in terms of stats and so forth to go, you know, to be ultimately thrilled about. It's just going to be a tough, long year of learning.
Sure, but in on the flip side of that, if they do have flashes where they're noticeable, everything you just said makes it even more like Todd Gilliland stood out to me this year.
He did.
And otherwise he never would have.
This is this, what, third year?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not his first year. That first year, you had to damn look through the weeds to find his ass. Yeah.
That's fair.
So, John Hunter Nemechek going into the 42 Legacy Motorsports Motor Club car. I just said it. I think he's one of those that I could see him popping off some shock win, you know, using some, not just going out there and running up front and leading every lap. I'm just saying, like, running good enough to do something strategy wise that, you know, it backs him into a win. I think that, you know, he'll have days where he struggles, where he runs 30th, then they'll have a day where he'll run 12th. It'll be a little bit of this hot and cold, and that's just how it's going to go for him.
Yeah, I have nothing else to add to that. Yeah.
All right, man. We've got a lot on our plate for the off season. I don't really have any major trips planned. I'm going to spend some time with my girls. We've got, you know, the holidays and the Earnhardt family reunions to look forward to. We're going to Texas to see Amy's family as well. I know everybody's got a lot on their plate. Don't forget, I'll be going to Florence in a couple weeks to race in the South Carolina 400. It's a 250-lap race on Saturday 18th, okay?
Saturday the 18th.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're just going to take some time off, you know, enjoy the holidays, man. Have you started Christmas shopping, Mike?
A little bit, but I would say that my off season still got some more hunting to do. Mm. You going to do any more hunting? Probably not.
Probably won't get a chance.
Yeah, I hear you. I look forward to that, and look forward to the just the work that we get to do in the off season on for Dirty Mo Media. That excites me. I know that's boring, but that's what I'm looking forward to.
Hit the button and we're live, Dale.
Hey everybody, how y'all doing? This is our Ask Junior segment, as we do every week, and it is a final one for the season. And we've had a great conversation with Kevin Harvick, which will be out this week, and just a lot going on, but we want to get right to it. Andrew's here. You have sent all your questions in to Xfinity Racing on Twitter. They have been amazing this year. Thank you. And we're going to get to a couple more today, and then that's going to be it. We're going to ride off into the holiday season.
Speaking of holiday season, this first one is coming from Michael. When is it acceptable to start listening to Christmas music?
Right now.
Right now, right yeah. away. Like after Halloween?
I don't really – yeah, I think right after Halloween. So I have this old radio. Well, it's actually – I just bought it, but it's like a – it represents an old radio. It's very cheap, all right? I bought it off Amazon. It's like $15, nothing, right? Just plays FM and AM stations. And I got it sitting over in the corner of my garage. I have one here, and I have one at my beach house in South Carolina. And right now, even down at my beach house, it's playing. In the garage.
Nice.
Right. And at my house in Mooresville right now, it's in my garage playing, and it's on the same station. And so right after, I believe, I don't know that, I think it's right after Thanksgiving, they start playing Christmas music, mm-hmm. and they play Christmas music the entire month of December, like nothing else. Traditionally on this station, it plays, late 70s and early 80s rock or pop, right? It's sort of a mix-all. Fleetwood Mac and, you know, Michael Jackson or whatever, right? It's all this stuff, right? And so, which I love the station, but immediately it's right after Thanksgiving, I think, it begins to play Christmas music. And it won't play nothing but Christmas music. You'll hear, like, the same 15 songs over and over.
Yeah.
That song, Last Christmas, plays maybe 600 times a day. So, but I like that. You know, I'm all about it. I guess at my age, you're like, yeah, put me in the mood. I'm ready.
Dang. All right. Yeah. Good. 'Tis the season. Last week you guys gave first date advice. We have a question coming from Evan asking for breakup advice. Like, what's the best way to
look, man,
you know, break the news?
The one thing that I know is mostly true is usually the right thing to do is the hardest. If you have two paths to take on something, traditionally you take the easier route, the lazier route, and that's typically like going to yield the least
painful.
Successful. Well, it's actually, I mean, in anything,
yeah.
Right? The right thing to do, the right way to handle something, or the right thing to do, is to have a conversation with them, right? Same way you would if you were going to, you know, end any kind of relationship, professional or whatever. You know, you don't do it through text or a phone call or whatever, right? And so if it's something that matters or did matter at one point, I think you got to talk, you got to go have lunch or whatever, right? You got to sit down and have a face-to-face and say, this isn't working out for me. And if they are frustrated or mad or they get up and storm off or whatever, hey, you had
part of it. Yeah.
It's part of it. Yeah. And so that's like the deterrent, right? I don't want to deal with that. Oh, I'll just send them I'll just call them, right? I could just, you know, avoid all of that. Well, it makes you look like an ass, I guess, when you do it that way.
Yeah. That's good advice. Yeah.
What's your advice, Mike?
Get your stuff and get the hell out of here. That's the only way I've known how
That's
to do
a little bit more.
I'm kidding. I've never been the broke upper. I've always been the broke up-y.
Well, how did you prefer it?
That's a better way. I don't know. Just send me a note, I guess.
Really?
A text.
Nah,
a notarized letter.
Man, tell us the truth. It's live, man. Give them the truth.
Listen, unfortunately, I have been married long enough to where I don't even remember what.
That's not true.
That's true.
He's not telling the truth. Okay, fine, Mike. Yep. Notes aren't good.
Alex would be the one to ask on this. He breaks up with a girl every week.
Alex, how does it need
you
to go
always
got to
do it in person. That's okay, all my advice.
All right. Andrew, how about the many, many girls that you've set down the road in frustration and anger?
Yeah, it's always been in person for me.
Okay.
You guys, everyone in here is so full of crap.
With a large group.
At a concert, mid-song.
Live on Ash Jr. No.
You take it to a sporting event, and right as they score the touchdown.
Right, right. Their happiest moment.
You just leave to get a drink and never come back. That's it. Send a text later. It's over.
That's so bad.
Oh, man. I think we got time for one more. This one's coming from Ange. Any way too early New Year's resolutions you guys have?
No, I mean, I don't do those.
You don't do them?
Yeah. I used to, I used to smoke back in the day, smoke cigarettes. You know, we all, maybe not everybody knows that, but I had that, you know, had that habit for throughout my 20s and early 30s. I tried that one. They're dumb. New Year's resolutions are stupid. Don't worry. Don't waste your time. You'll quit something when you're ready to quit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't like them, man. I mean, there's these things where I had a buddy of mine. He's like, I'm not going to drink this whole month. And it was like 7 days he made it before he had a beer. And I'm like, what's a waste of time?
Something about the change of the calendar.
What about you guys? You guys got anything? Change my mind. I mean, is there any kind of resolution where you're like, boy, I'm glad that New Year's came so I could finally really buckle down and get that out of my life?
I do always look at New Year's as like a way to like set the goals I want to accomplish for the next year. So it's like not something where it's like I'm starting January 1st, but like by the calendar year I accomplish XYZ type of thing.
Gotcha.
It's a good checkpoint.
Okay. You say so.
Nothing for me. I mean,
Tim's like, I ain't saying a word.
No, Tim's saying, I got no goals.
This is going nowhere.
My goal,
ambition.
I'm not teeing myself up to
keep being awesome. That's my goal.
Oh my right God. 2024. Humility might be a good New Year's resolution. For
humility,
Alex.
We'll make the bingo card.
What about you, Mike?
I don't do New Year's resolutions either. Clearly, so I'm like. I don't know. I probably should, though. I think my New Year's resolution will be to come up with a New Year's resolution.
Nice.
Jesus.
I think by January 1st, I want to strive to be more like Alex Timms. That's my New Year's resolution.
That's
right
a big,
there.
Big, tall order there.
Yeah. All right.
It's kind of impossible.
We appreciate all the questions, man. Great job all year long. Appreciate you, Andrew, for helping us through these. It's been fun. The questions, these are great questions. Keep them coming. We're having a blast with this particular segment. It gets better every year, and this is it for the year. We're wrapping it up after this week. Well, why don't you close us out, man? It's your last show. Why don't you tell everybody at home how much you appreciate them and send us off into the off season on a good note?
I'll be quick, man. It's been an amazing year. We've had record numbers on the Dirty Mo platform. I think we've connected with fans in a new way, whether it be through the Ultimate Experience. We had live shows. So an awesome year all around, nothing but good things. But listen, thank you to everybody that listens to the Dale Jr. Download, to all of our podcast. You're what makes it happen, right? And we are going to continue pushing out content all off season through the Dirty Mo Media platform. So don't leave us. We've got some good stuff lined up for the next several months, and then we'll get back after it with our main shows back in February. So have a good one, everybody.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.